today wanted to talk to you on a topic that I called the one who gives life. You know, we're walking in this world, noticing around, we see that we're all Christians. Some people are preparing to become Christians, some is halfway, but all the people that we are talking to, I'm not talking about those we're saving, we're all Christians, we all want to go somewhere, we will dream of something. But I just want to talk simply today that there are moments that are make these things different. There are things that you can't just name a Christian and it will be a Christian thing. You know, in our society, it's common to deal with these things in such an easy way that, for example, we started a group, a praise team, and God has to be here for granted. Someone started a church, we started a church, and let's bless, let's do something. And for some strange reason, we don't even think about this, you know. In every sermon, I just want to challenge a little bit your brains. We don't think automatically. In our brains, we just got used to take for granted the Church of God. Amen?
Amen.
Everything we are doing, someone made up a team or someone went on a mission field. People went to Russia as missions. We have a missionary, he's playing the keyboard. He's the greatest missionary when he was going there on the mission field. He said, everything I was trying to do, nothing worked. Everything was empty. We think if a team went to Kamchatka, to Russia, for example, there are people who went there. And I spent a lot of time with these people, talking to them, to be convinced that everything they were doing, that God didn't send them there. You know, there are things... A good desire of the soul, amen? With your brain, you understand, I am a believer. I'm existing for something. I'm born on this world for something. And you don't understand completely these things. You are led not by the spirit, you are led by your soul. You are led by your emotions. The children are crying, I'm praying for them. Where is my glass? Everything that is born, we got used automatically. We prayed for someone, we call something Christian. In our understanding, it's always a Christian thing. But you know that this is a complete absurd nonsense. It's a complete nonsense. Someone wanted to start a business, to start this body shop and to fix cars. And another one was reading the Bible all of his life. He can't deal with iron, and he just started a mission church. Are you here or not? I want to watch you carefully, and I believe that some of you will understand me. My dear friends, believe me. If this is opened by someone, it can be, if it started by someone, it can be automatically become Christian. It can be called something that you wanted to be called because you decided to start this. Because you got this dream in your brains. You came and no one is sending out parcels in this town and you need to start a mission and send out parcels to Ukraine. And you say, this is my mission, this is charity mission. God is moving in here. What kind? What God? The one who gives life is my topic. The one who gives life. I reminded. Let's open a passage in the Bible. You all know this passage, but let's read it again. You know, I'm usually trying not to speak about complicated things. I speak about simple things, and I try to lay them out in such a thing that you may understand them. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. I want all of you to take this as a rule for your life. I want all of you, what we are reading here, you don't put it only to the creation of Adam, of the man. I want you to apply this principle. We don't see it, but this is the law of life, as the law of attraction. You can't do anything that belongs to God if God didn't give it to you and didn't inspire life into this. You hear? why you are struggling, why you are in horrors, why we are trembling when we have to go to church, you know, like in those times. Yeah, it's clear here that parents, children are drawing you here. But I was shocked when I was told that I have to go to church. I was in order. Where are here sincere people who agree with me? Yeah, you understand why I was told we are going to God. And the word of God was even worse shock for me. Church and God was something that I was shocked completely. You understand, I couldn't realize, you know, my God was associated with something horrible, terrible, hard to understand, something that I don't want to go to. You know, when you are told 220 volts electricity, you have a bad association, you are told, be careful, it will kill you, have a reaction. And when I was told the church, I was trembling, and even more trembling when I was told about God. I couldn't understand why is this happening. Why the thing that is supposed to be the best thing in the world, the thing that gives life, the place where people should run to with thousands, why I was, I had such a reaction. And when I grew up and when I had an encounter with the living, real God, I realized why. Because there is no life. We created a skeleton and we are trying to manipulate it. Let's read this passage. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. I want this principle, my dear, to be set in your mind. Sometimes God creates, first of all, many people, they think that first when they will see, this has to be something shocking. Oh, this is God. Wow, my dear. First Adam was created of the dust and he was laying on the ground and he was immovable. That was a process. First God created a part of the man or of the ministry. God is always breathing his life into what was created by his own hands, you understand? Why many people are called successful and other people are unsuccessful? Because the successful people, they never create anything. They are moving to where God is doing something, and this impression is created that this pastor is doing something. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Okay, this is food. This is a little bit more mature food. It's an impression that I have something supernatural on me. And I went there. For example, Oregon. Bah, a church is there. Wow, what's that? How is possible? How is that possible? Usually it's like step by step, you know, little by little. Yes, that's normal. My dear. My loved ones, God is telling me where he's going to breathe. We were talking with the team. We know the next place where God will be breathing life into. Amen? I know. My dear, an impression is created that the pastor went there and started the church. The pastor had no role to play here. For example, if God told me 1 year ago to do something there, if I didn't listen to his voice and went there right away, that would be a crash. Sometimes the right things come in the wrong time. God didn't breathe life into there. Why are you getting into that? But when God is breathing, you're just moving from one place to another place where he is creating. I'm explaining it to you. There is a category of a type of people that I'm calling fishermen. They know for sure what is the season, what is the day, is to catch the fish in that place, because they spend years in those places, in all those on those lakes. They know it for sure. And when a man comes, he comes with his buckets full of fish, and others don't understand. He knew the season and time exactly. And you understand that the impression is there that you are moving by God from one spot to another spot. And it's not because you have a heart to start something, no, but because you feel you're sitting and you know where is the right season, in what place, and the season in that place where He creates it. You know, if you touch certain things, like about building a family, God is giving you this for management, but don't ever try to use the same method to use it for spiritual areas. Everything is different in this realm. It moves by completely different laws. If God didn't breathe in His life into there, you'll just be ashamed. I know so many people, believe me, please, I'm tired to count those people. People who started to do something in the wrong time, and you also know these kind of people. And you look at them, and He created Adam. And you go to this church or to this ministry, to this mission, whatever it is, the home group, and you're always promised another year, we will still pray, and Adam will get alive, will raise up, and they always hide Adam like Lenin in mausoleum. In Moscow, everything's okay. Lenin was alive. He is alive. He will be alive. It's a lie from the devil. And we believe, church, that right now something somewhere will breathe out. Some people, they don't understand. Please, please listen to me. They think that if this doesn't work right now, He will start working a little later. Oh, Jesus, take us out of this lie. I've never seen one ministry for 10, 15 years not working and then to start working. I've never seen, bring me at least some kind of statistics. I'm looking for that. Everything that wasn't working continues to not work. Church. And we as stupid people continue to believe that Lenin will raise up from mausoleum. He's guarded there by guardians. And we are moving. I implore you, my loved ones, I don't despise anyone. I implore you right now, please go away from that place where everything is created by human hands. Where God didn't breathe in, He is not going to breathe in, church. You can't implore God to breathe in a little bit of life. Please move. Yeah, let the finger move and the church will understand that this is from God. At least the little finger move just a little bit. I know ministries that have been prayed for just a small miracle. It's not there. They're looking for all kind of headaches, for something to be healed, to put something into statistics to show people that God is here. But I'm just imploring, I'm calling to your sound reason of the church right now, not just to you, but also to those who listen and watch us. Please stop resuscitating what wasn't created for life. My loved ones, God is never breathing on what He didn't create. But what He made, my loved ones, what He made, whatever that was with this thing, with this ministry, with this church, whatever it is, it's impossible to take that breath away. You understand what I'm talking about? This man, you can disarm him completely. This minister will go into the same place and the same will come with him because God breathed His life into him. My loved ones, the most important thing in our life is to stop running away, running for something, but to wait till that moment when He will tell you exactly, my son, the time has come. I'm right now breathing. my loved ones. Some people are suffering. You know what we are suffering of, including myself. I had that. I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait. You understand what I'm talking about? We are all. With some people it's less, some people it's more deprivated. I couldn't wait at all. I was doing everything right now and right here. But believe me, we can't buy, you know, from God this. We can't convince God that I need it right now. You understand? The need is here right now. God has His time for everything. First, He created the place for living. Gardens, fields, animals, skies, everything was made by Him. And then He made Adam. My loved ones, you know that in the beginning, it looks like everything else, you know, very common. When something great is being born, it looks exactly like something that is created by naturally. But there is something but. God will breath His life into and He will revive. And the other places people will be copying, will be looking for, will be fighting, will be resisting. There is nothing there. Why, my loved ones? Because God didn't put His life into that. And therefore, when you will be dreaming of a ministry, of something great in your life, going somewhere, fighting for something, you have to remember one thing, take one thing for yourself. I will never move unless God will breathe. I will never move. I will never go. I will never do this. You can't copy the life. I've seen so many lives, so many ministers who played the puppet show. This Adam, he was a kind of a life, but you look at him, someone is manipulating him. It's like a fake. It's not original. There is no life. There are no miracles. There are no things that are supposed to be there. Someone is controlling that, is manipulating that. I want you to understand me correctly. It's not because someone decided to do so. No, people didn't understand the plan of God. No one is judging anyone in this place. I'm just imploring those people who didn't understand that you are doomed to resuscitate for your whole life, what will never leave, or you will wait for your season, you'll find your place, and then you will for sure be in the place of God, and no one will take life from your thing. It's impossible to take life away from what God put His life into. My friend, did God put His life into you? Wherever you are, whatever is happening with your life, you are unshakable, you are steady, He's moving with you. Right now we'll go into another realm. I was talking about ministry, but let's talk for a few minutes about the human, where God put His life into. You know, my loved ones, that we are exactly the same. So let's take the minister. It's okay, ministry. God is not breathing in there, but let's take the minister. You know, the man where God put His life, he will be tormented in the place where God didn't put His life into. Yeah, it's a hard topic, so we'll have to think about today. There are people who know for sure who they are in God, but they are in that place where God didn't put them into. They are just trying to use the power, the force that God gave them, and they can't make it because God isn't leading them. They are paralyzed in that place, and I know so many people who are praying with a sincere heart, saying, "Oh Lord, please, will it revive, will it raise up?" And it's silenced there for 10 years, for 15 years, nothing is happening. Why? Because even if you are the man who was created by God and whom God breathed His life into, you will never be able to work in that place where He didn't send you to. Oh, my loved ones. Let's read the psalm. I like it very much. 127. Psalm 127. 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. The first two verses, they are very interesting. Look, unless the Lord... It's in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat up the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Have you noticed that some people, they are forcing themselves in a supernatural way? But the man who is called by God, he does this as if he is breathing. He doesn't pay attention to this. God just leads him. Why is that? Did God put life into what you are doing? When you come home, please just ask God, Father, first of all, please show me exactly who am I, where am I. And I am asking you, give me this life. I can't without this life to serve you, to work for you, because everything will be crushed if I don't have this life in me. You know, you can create a professional Adam. You can make a beautiful Adam. You can create an Adam with high ceiling, with great stages, with beautiful choirs, teams of praise and worship bands. You can pack Adam in such a beautiful way. You can do everything in such a way that you can think that God is there, yeah, and it looks like God is there, but there is no life coming out of there. Touching to this ministry or people, they don't experience what revives and raises them up. You understand me? My dear, every person that is in touch with you at home or anywhere, they should experience the life in you, that you are alive. How can you say the difference between a living person and a dead person? In the presence of a living person, everything revives, everything gets life. They say, I have this at work, I have that at work. My friends, if you are alive, I know some people here at your work, everyone will know who is alive and who is dead. You hear me? There will be an exact border. We don't love him, but I know for sure if I have a question, I will ask it him. Other people, they understand the anointing, but they can't bear with the Adam that they made. You know, so many people, they are inspired with information, topics from here, from thoughts, but they don't come here for one only reason. They don't like the way Adam looks. Amen. They accept everything completely, but they don't like the way Adam looks, the way ministry looks here, everything moves here, like the way everything grows here. My loved ones, but this is the very meaning. This is the core. God breathes where he wants. Sometimes it's not our fault that God breathes life into here, and we are surprised that everything works so fine. And it's impossible, you know. Why did God say that I will draw a line between those who serve God and those who don't serve God? Some people think that something will start crashing. No, he will just revive something. He will give birth to something. And everything what is dead will realize that this is dead because something alive came to being here. Something rose up. God put life into that and it started walking. And people comparing, they start hating that. Why? Because you make them change, not even with your words. But they don't want to change. You come out to the pulpit or in your home group and you say, this is what a living church is. You know that by this you encourage some people and you destroyed others. You're just citing the word. You don't attack anyone. This is how the church is supposed to be. And they will start talking about you. Why are you attacking my church? I say, I'm not attacking anyone's church. I'm just saying this is how the church is supposed to be. And this is where we are going to. And automatically this will cut someone. No matter want you to do that or you don't, you will be doing that. You will be trying to hide. You won't be able. It will come out of you. It will spring out of you. People will meet you and they will see that you are a completely different person. You have different words in your mouth. Even if you are citing the same Bible, it's cited in such a way that something is reviving when you cite it. Because you met the living God. Because He breathed on you. He gave you something, oh Jesus. God wants to find those He wants to breathe through. He wants to find those people He will be able to breathe through. Okay, God put His life into the ministry. Now you are moving. God put His life into you. The third thing, can He breathe through you? How much are you in His will that when you see a thing that is being born, you come and you breathe life into it, you're blessed and you felt that God did it through you. God is working through you. First, number one, you have to feel with your spirit where God breaths and to come there. The second moment, God has to breathe into you. Now you are receiving life, you understand what's happening. Now you are alive. And the third step is you are so much with Him, one to one, that you are breathing now. And the most interesting thing, that a sermon that you have never thought about, someone is calling from Ukraine and saying, all of my life is completely changed. You understand what I'm talking about? Church? You never think about that. Believe me carefully now. You never think. You just speak out. But this is the breath of life. And you're amazed yourself. You let a few phrases go and they changed everything in a person. And you don't understand. I was speaking Russian. But to this Russian language, something else has to be attached. Everyone preaches, everyone prays, everyone lays his hands. But why there is such a different result? Why is there such a different difference, such a great difference in the results? Because God is breathing there. Because, my dear friends, just say, Father, you know, why is everything working? I promised Him. I will never be doing what you are not doing. I will never be there where you are not there. I will never breath and preach those things if you are not attached in my life. I just promised to Him, I will never be doing anything without you. You remember the words of Jesus, it's a law. I'm doing only what I see the Father doing. You remember that passage? Those words. I do only what I see the Father doing. I only go and breath to those places. Jesus, God in flesh. You and I are the people. He didn't have to find Himself. He knew who He was. He said, God Himself walking on the earth, He was subject to this law. You understand me, church? Jesus was subject to that law, that I'm only doing those things. I'm only speaking those things and doing, creating those things that I see my Father doing. I don't do anything from myself. I can't go there where I'm called. I'm only going where my inside draws me to. Because I realize that if I come where God is not moving, there nothing will happen. That's why I stopped arguing with everyone, proving something to the people, you know. I've realized that in years that no matter how much I cite, He will never listen to me. He doesn't have the ears to hear what it's spoken from inside. You hear me, church? Why did Jesus say you can't hear my words? Because your heart is harsh. Yeah, because you can't hear the words. You can't hear with your ears. You can't feel the breath of life from me. It doesn't revive you. Paul said, for some people we are who, church? For some people we are breath of life, and for the other people we are also breath, but a stench of death. Why with the same breath you can revive and you can destroy? Because it's God speaking life into you. Some people believe that you have to be politically correct, religiously correct. You can't be. When you speak, the breath of life is coming out. Some people are revived and other people are destroyed by this breath, and you don't want this. But this is happening. When Jesus was speaking, when the disciples were speaking, always separated into, some people recognized completely, other people, they renounced him and they wanted to kill him. Why? The same breath is reviving once and is destroying others. Oh, Jesus, you understand my thoughts, church? I just want to make you understand that this is something that you have to take as a law and never do anything without this law. Otherwise, this will be an empty spending of time. You will throw away the energy. You will be disappointed. You will be empty because he didn't tell you. Oh, I say, he told me, he gave me. But he didn't tell you when and where and how. God doesn't breathe into what he didn't create. So often we want God to revive. Sometimes I'm praying for this family and say, God, breathe your life into it. And God says, it's not your business. He says, you will be doing only what I will put into you. And you will pray only for those that I want you to pray for. Don't you think that Jesus wanted to pray for everyone? He was very special, you know. He was saying, I serve only to the house of Israel. And he didn't even want to. He even called one woman a dog. She was a pagan from Syria, Phoenicia. She lived in the middle of Syria and Phoenicia. She came. Her daughter was demon-possessed. And she said, but let also the dogs... But Jesus said, I have no right to be there right now. I have no right because God is not breathing there. But you know what? That is a different topic. She came from that realm where God is not breathing, and he put his life into her because she grabbed with her teeth God's miracle. She came there where God is breathing. Oh, do you understand what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Amen. She came where she didn't say, now I will pray, and sometimes maybe in the future. Maybe only now, after 2,000 years, a missionary came there and the granddaughter heard the gospel. My dear, go there where God is breathing. Go there where God is breathing. Be there where God is breathing. Your miracle is where God is breathing. Amen. You know, I'm surprised by some people who are trying to grow up on conferences, on sermons, on some programs, television programs, some moments, and you're looking at them. It's a pitiful person. He is getting someone's alms. It's not bad to listen to a topic and to take it. Principle of life, but stop feeding on that person. When people tell me, you know, I have quite a few letters and I don't like them. When people tell me, you are the only source of our food, you know, for me this is an abomination. I tell to everyone, because I have no right to be the source of anyone, the source of anyone's feeding, because I'm not the source of feeding. I'm feeding myself from him and I'm passing on what I received from him. When I got these letters, yeah, I understand that they like the sermons, but let's not cross the borders. When you say this, you cross him out from your life. But for me, this is jealousy. No one has the right to take the place of the living God in your life. No one has the right to take his place. No one. And we are trying to create, we gather tapes, books, and we are studying. It's okay. Yeah, you read. Now go on your knees. You want to ask me, how did you get that? In my secret room, on my knees, crying and weeping, crying for years. I received my own. You want yours. Pay the price. You want a fake. This is your price. You want to be like me. You can do it quickly. You want to be like him. I don't even know how much time it will take you and don't even want to promise. It took me 12 years. But my friends, are you ready to pay the price for something genuine? Some people don't understand that only genuine will cost a lot. I've seen a girl with a diamond, I thought. Nice, big, but it's completely fake. And I say, it's interesting. You or your husband or your grand paid a lot. No, it costs 1999 in Kmart. You know, and I can only see from a close look that it's something genuine or not. But when the jewelry expert will take it and will look, it doesn't cost $19.99. It will cost even cheaper. Believe me, there is a price. I'm just imploring people to understand me, to stop copying, faking, fitting all their life with something fake. There is a price for me, there is a price for you. You want something genuine in your life? You have to pay your life for the genuine church. For something you can't read, the genuine thing in a book. I put my life for the genuine, and only when I can get up, people are surprised. What did he read? I didn't read anything. Life. I paid my life for my diamond. Do you hear me? Maybe you'll never become a preacher, but you'll become a prayer man, and you'll become such a prayer man that the preachers will be far away from you. Do you hear me? Know your place. What God is breathing into you. Don't look at a professional musician or preacher and say, I want to be like him. When I told God like that, he said, have you ever thought, my son, about what I want to give you twice more? I thought, oh. And the limits started falling off my head. Only I want to get only mine. When they ask him, do you want to be like him? No. Do you want to be twice bigger than him? No. I want to be 100% like me, who he created me. And the person he created me to be, or the place where he wanted me to be, is best for me, is to become myself. I feel comfortable in my own skin. I don't have to fake things all the time. Give glory to God. I don't have to pretend all the time to be someone. My loved ones. I'm addressing the ministers, pastors. You want to make another conference? Forget about it. You want to make another meeting, concert? Forget about them. Start crying out to Jesus, and he will come into your life, my dear ones. It's such a common word, Jesus Christ. Everything is in it. Is in him. If not for him, what books, what are you talking about, what preachers? Yeah, someone preached there. Well, something touched my heart, but he did it. My loved ones, love your, the God, Lord your God, with all your soul, all your strength. He will touch you. God wants to breathe into you. Are you ready to accept his breath? Some people say yes, my loved ones. Do you want it so much that you're ready to pay everything for it? My dear ones, do you know how few people will pay? How many people want to? But when it's about a genuine thing, when I see beautiful, a nice jacket on someone, I say, it's nice. When I look at some shoes or car, yeah, nice, I want that. You come to him. How much does it cost? When he tells you, all your desires go. Yes, 75,000 for Mercedes. Shoes, 250. this ring is four grants. He is packed for $85,000. Okay, it's okay for me like that, as I am in Burlington factory. Burlington factory. American joke. Oh, Ross. Ross 2, Ross 3. My loved ones, everything has a price on this earth. Everything has a price. Are you ready? You know, I just believe this topic will touch someone just for a little. If we want the original, the genuine life, if we want something that can't be faked, or stolen, taken, my dear ones, answer me this question. Can you steal that diamond that is in me? No. It's impossible. My loved ones, I will go somewhere to the North Pole, to Alaska, whatever. You know, this diamond was paid for by me. You can take the church. God will give me another one. You can take the car. God will give me another one. You know, there are things that are paid for inside. You know, this is the greatest, the most precious thing inside of me. If you'll ever ask me what is the most precious thing in your life, I will say what I have right now in me. There is no success, no blessing, no other price than to be and to have what He put in me. I don't have to train. I don't have to read out. I just want to be with Him. I just want to be in Him. This diamond is also always working. It's also shining. If He shone with this side, it will turn to the other side. And people don't understand how in one person, in one girl, in one boy, in one woman, there can be all of these. It's a diamond, you understand? A diamond has many faces. It's a diamond that you can't explain. You can't pay for it. You can't get it from me. I can't transmit this to someone or sell it to someone. My loved ones, I just want you to know the breath of life. God has to breath life on you and what you do. Otherwise, all of your life is a slavery and it's a torment. I will better pay the time. My dear one, we pay with different things. The impatient person will pay with his time. The greedy person will pay with money. Oh, my dear ones, I don't even want to name all the prices. I paid with everything. I paid with everything because I was both greedy and impatient. And I also was collecting things, collectibles. And God took all of these things from me. Some people don't understand why Jesus said, go sell everything, everything, and give to the poor. God wanted to know, is there anything in His life or in your life more precious than what you want? You understand me, my dear? Here. Look here. If there is something more precious in your life, you are not worthy of the dream you want. My dear ones, do you want that or you don't want that? If there is something in your life that is more precious for you than your dream, I give you a guarantee. I don't disappoint you, but you will never get it. Or right now, if you are going to the dream, I'm telling you what stage you are. You are paying right now. You are paying right now with your feelings. If you are a person who is easily disappointed, you will be disappointed 101 times. That's your wages. If you're a person who was getting mad, you're getting mad with everyone, including God. You have to pay everything. How much is my anointing? It's the same for a homeless person, for the person who has corporation for $1 billion. His anointing will cost him everything. It will cost him his breath of life, everything. We've got to learn this principle. Fruits. The fruits will always show who we are. You know, we don't have to talk a lot or prove something. Come here, I'm in the anointed of God. I will tell you. I will give you everything, my dear ones. I like Jesus. You will know them by their fruit. Look at what's happening where he's breathing. Look at what's happening behind this person. You don't have to weigh. You don't have to prove, to argue. Just look what's following him. It's very simple. God is breathing on those who are in his will. God breathes on the person who is in his will. Are you in his will? He will breathe on you. Do you want to have success? You know, deep inside, asking myself a question, who do I want to become in this life? And believe me, I'm not even nearly to my dream. I'm just on my first step. I just put the foot on the first step. Some people, you know, yeah, you have to have an agreement with God. You don't want to fail. For example, if I give you everything, you understand, the agreement is accordingly. My dear friends, some people don't understand what they lose. One time with Sveta, we were sitting many years ago when we didn't have this in our mind, only God, and we were sitting. When I had to pay everything and give to God everything, I had nothing more, nor name, no authority, no money, no car, not even normal things in our house. We had to give everything out. And I'm sitting and I'm talking to my wife. That's it. I don't have anything. And I said, Sveta, we are talking to each other, you know, Sveta. I'm right now on that level when there is nothing more that I can give to God. Everything belongs to him, my dear ones. I can't even explain to you if some of you were on this level. You are sitting here and you have something. You say, I've got something else. And that something is stopping you from getting everything from God. I say, I don't have anything. Everything I was dreaming about, everything I was collecting, everything I thought of having, I gave you, or I gave to those people you told me to give. Jesus doesn't need you bad. I promise you, the beautiful one. You gave everything out. And you know, inside of me, I felt like a fire came inside of me. Something came into me that I couldn't express with words. And I said, Sveta, I feel that God will give us everything, everything that belongs to us. My dear ones, if you will believe into this thing, I'm only talking to mature Christians. If you are still looking for other things, continue in 5 years. By this disc and listen to it again. Remember this law. If he came to ask something from you or to take anything from you, never think. Just give it away to God. Believe me, church. I'm on that level, church. When I'm asking him, I'm to take something else from me. When you've learned this law, I'm saying, Lord, what can I give to you? If you need something in my house, if you need something, you need my house, anything, I will give you anything. Just tell inside of me as you usually tell me. I'm asking him right now to take something from me. And Holy Spirit tells me, when it will be necessary, I will tell you. Until now, you gave out everything. I'll be finishing. Did you take anything from you from this little thought? I want to learn success. My desire, my dream is that not only I would enjoy this life ministry, to enjoy what God gave me, that I want to teach you this principle. I'm saying it again, that the principle is worth it. Those things won't just be laying around. Please remember, once and for all, I will be finishing with this. If you asked life from God, if you asked for breath from God, if you asked for something that will make you a completely different person, please remember the next step. He will come and he will ask from you for something. As usual, it was in the Bible. No disciple could be with him if he didn't give everything out. Amen. My beloved one, it's a law. And only these people can demand what God has. We can never demand, we can never think, dream of, and never the fullness and the pleasure with God, with heaven and his glory. until there is something in our life which is more precious than God. May God bless you all. Give glory to Him. Yeah. It's a pleasure for me to be here. It's a pleasure for me to be here with you to teach. Glory to Jesus. Father, in silence, we bow down our heads before you and we ask you, Lord. I know there are those in this room that you prepared for a great ministry. And I'm imploring you, Holy Spirit, teach all of us not to step to those places where the devil is trying to push us. He's trying to steal our ministry by our lack of desire to pay. Please teach everyone here to be with you, to take this breath. When the people will touch us, when the people will remember us, we want them to know that this person is not just a person, because behind him or behind her, there was a price that was paid. There was a price that was paid. Only God knows what you had to give away, because God, His ministry, His fire, His glory, His life was more precious than everything. We determine we want to have everything or just a little bit. We determine it. My dear Jesus, I ask for everyone here, let never the hand trembles to give to you, because everything we have in this life, it will go away, it will burn, it has no price already. It already has no price. And I am asking you, Jesus, let everyone here will determine where he wants to be. I know, my beloved, I want to have everything that heaven can offer me. Long ago, my limits went off. My mind is ready to accept everything you want to give me. Please continue to enlarge the mind of every person here. Please continue to enlarge the soul and the spirit so that we can accept this nation into our hearts, and our dream is for the nation, for our nation to be changed, for all our generation to be changed that is born right now in the slavery of sin, the generation that has so many things that our fathers and mothers didn't have. And I want to ask you, Jesus, and let in all of this abundance of vitals and discontentment in this world, we want to choose you, because there is nothing and no one more precious than you. Oh, our beloved, we want to speak out the words that will revive everything. We want to breath, Lord. We know. Do we want that or we don't want? This breath will convict someone and will wound someone, but we want to say, will hurt someone. We need to speak the words of life, the words that bring your glory. Thank you, our beloved. I'm blessing the whole church, every person who is here. I believe that together we can build a great center. Together, everything will be here. That will be a place for everyone. We will see how you will spread out all of us around the world. We already can see that, Father. Hundreds of thousands of raised hands of people that we brought to you. We can see that harvest already gathered. We won't stop. We won't tremble until we will fulfill your will, our beloved Jesus. Amen. Give him glory, church. Give him glory, church. I want you to be alive so much. To bring life. That's the most important thing in Christianity. Not to put just a little star. To say, oh, he is a deacon now. That one is a pastor now. All of that is garbage, my beloved. the boy on the side of the road can have more anointing than the whole church because he gave his life to Jesus completely. And the younger you are, the more chances you have, possibilities to get into your calling and to fulfill it to the end. Amen.